The 14th chapter of the book of Acts, I would like to read to you and share with you from the 8th verse through the 18th verse. This text served as one of the selected readings for the 6th Sunday of Easter. At Lystra, a man was sitting who had no strength in his feet, lame from his mother's womb, who had never walked. This man was listening to Paul as he spoke, who, when he had fixed his gaze on him and had seen that he had faith to be made well, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on your feet." And he leaped up and began to walk. When the crowd saw what Paul had done, they raised their voice, saying in the Lyconian language, "The gods have become like men and have come down to us." And they began calling Barnabas Zeus and Paul Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. The priest of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates and wanted to offer sacrifice with the crowds. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of it, they tore their robes and rushed out into the crowd, crying out and saying, "Men, why are you doing these things? We are also men of the same nature as you, and preach the gospel to you that you should turn from these vain things to a living God, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. In the generations gone by, he permitted all the nations to go their own ways. Yet he did not leave himself without witness, in that he did good and gave you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness." Even saying these things, with difficulty they restrained the crowds from offering sacrifice to them. I suppose that the reaction of the people on this particular day to Paul in particular, Barnabas also, is completely understandable, at least to the point where it really doesn't surprise us. I guess it was only natural. They witnessed a tremendous miracle. Paul made a lame man walk right before their very eyes. And for them, this signaled the presence of a God. And they began to look at Barnabas and Paul, we are told, as gods. So much so to the point where, as you heard, the priests of this particular god Zeus came out and wanted to offer sacrifice to Paul and Barnabas. I guess it's only natural that the people would respond this way, because let's face it, it happens quite often. Has happened quite often through the ages, happens quite often in our day and age. For instance, people attend a certain church only because of the pastor. People follow the teachings of a certain pastor. People attend a certain church because of another member of the congregation that they know attends there. And so they go right along with them. You see the problem? The problem is getting stuck on the servant rather than on the master. Now, I'll grant you this much. The servant can be a help or a hindrance to the Christian life. But be that as it may, as Paul points out in our text, an individual's focus is not to be on the servant. The individual's focus is to be on the God who provided for his or her salvation. Now, that's a tough lesson to learn, I suppose, for some. It's certainly a tough lesson for some leaders in our day, for some pastors in our day, who, as we are very well aware, begin to see themselves as the main cog in a church. It doesn't matter if they're on television, it doesn't matter if they're on the radio, it doesn't matter if they're on neither. The tendency is for an ego to become built up to the point where the leader views himself or herself as the most integral part of the church. And they allow such an attitude in their people. Paul didn't. If ever there was a moment in Paul's life where his ego could be boosted to the highest heaven, it was on this occasion. I mean, think of it. He was, at that moment in time, probably the most popular person in the region. He had priests coming out to him wanting to sacrifice animals to him. He had the people of that region calling him a god. And Paul would have none of it. Paul would not allow it. Remember what we talked about last week from this very pulpit. Part of the Upper Room Discourse, the work of the Holy Spirit, you recall it. Where Jesus himself says that the true Spirit of God, the true Spirit of God the Father, the true Spirit of the God who created this world, the true Spirit of the God who sent His Son for our salvation, is going to bear witness to that Son of God and no one else. Jesus Christ is going to be presented by that Holy Spirit as the integral part of the church. Indeed, the very one upon whom the church is built. The foundation stone, the cornerstone, as he is called throughout the scriptures. There is no other. And this is exactly what Paul was trying to draw those people's attention to. Don't worship me. Worship the one who has saved you. He is due all honor and praise. Oh, there's a lesson here for the leaders of today, all right? You are nothing other than a spokesman for the God who really counts. And there's a lesson here for congregations. For those Christian people, well-meaning Christian people who allow God's servants to get between them and God, either positively or negatively. Some worship God only because they like the servant. If the servant wasn't around, they wouldn't be around. And on the negative side of things, they stay away because of a certain servant. But this story tells us that we are never to allow anyone to enter between us and God. Our focus as children of Jesus Christ is to be solely upon Jesus Christ. The pastor didn't die for your sin. Jesus Christ did. The pastor makes no eternal plan for you. Jesus Christ does. We worship Him. We dislike a servant of God's, of Jesus Christ, and therefore we stay away. But this story tells us this is not an excuse not to worship God. He is at all times and in all places worthy of our praise and our worship and adoration. So the question stands before us today and always. Do I worship the servant? Or do I worship the master? Listen to the words of Paul. And with those words coming from the Holy Spirit, may God help us overcome our natural likes and our natural dislikes and not allow any of them to come between us and God. He alone is to be praised, for He alone is worthy. He alone is our Savior. Amen.